Welcome to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pamela and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Make sure you check us out by clicking on the Harshman Travel Radio Show link on buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. You might have a chance of working with them in their business ventures and your travel plan. So listen in and enjoy the journey. Now on to our Building Fortunes Radio Show with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles. Let's get started, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. This is a Friday night. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. We are here with Pam and Ron Harshman. They host a regular radio show with us every Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and it's called Harshman Travel Radio Show. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll see the cool website that Pam has put together, and if you click on the gallery, you'll be able to see photos. You'll be able to see some of the cool stuff that she's done on some of the photos that she's done as well. And this whole thing got started when we wanted to put together a platform for people doing things with home-based businesses and just to kind of shine a spotlight on that. And I had called Pam, and I told her what we were doing, and she had alerted me to the idea that she was going to become a real certified travel agent. And I said, that's great, because number one, I know you probably work from home. You're not planning on opening up an office. You could do everything virtually. Number two, a lot of people in the home-based business arena are looking for travel as one of the things that they want to do. Number three, you're going to provide great service and all that sort of stuff. And number four, of course, and I can keep going, be a wonderful resource for our Building Fortunes radio listening audience. So we started our radio show lots and lots of years ago, and we've missed only a few of them, usually for holidays or traveling and or other things related to those types of things. But we have probably a lot of radio shows. If you go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman Travel, you'll be able to see and listen to some of the previous radio shows that we've done. I am so inspired by this travel agency that I am thinking about coordinating a trip for politicians only. And I think I'm going to call I think I'm going to call it the Titanic. And for some reason, I don't know, but I think I'd probably have some contributors that would help to make sure that it's a expense-paid vacation to some of our politicians. But having said that, seriously, if you're looking, yes, I know. Seriously, if you're looking for any kind of travel-related plans, and I know she could put it together for me if I really asked, she'd probably do it. And I know that my Building Fortunes radio listening audience would probably support it wholeheartedly. Whether we be able to coax them on the ship or not, I'm not sure. I think if we had maybe a blow-up doll of Donald Trump and said, this is where he is, and you can go get him here, we'd probably be able to get a whole bunch of people there. But the reality is that I think they need a vacation. So if you are also in that kind of a mind frame where you say, you know what, I think I need a vacation, you probably want to check out Harshman Travel. So we usually start off with intros first, and we do ladies first, of course. So, Pam, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having us again, Peter. As soon as you said politicians, I knew I was in for something.
That's it.
Yeah.
You do it. You'd be good at it, too. You'd be good at coordinating that trip.
At times, it's tempting.
Yes.
Yeah. A little bit about my background. I started my working career in law enforcement as a 911 dispatcher. Did that for several years and then eventually worked myself up the ladder into court administration. This was all up in the Pacific Northwest. And once I met Ron and I decided to join him down here in sunny Florida, I didn't want to have to start at the bottom of the ladder again. So I was looking for something that I could do independently, hopefully from home. Ended up getting my realtor's license followed by my broker's license. Sold real estate in South Florida for many, many years, but then kind of got burned out and was looking for something else and got my life and health insurance license and started selling Medicare supplements to the senior population. Absolutely loved it. I loved visiting with the seniors, and it was just a no-pressure type of a job, and it was great. However, I started seeing these things coming across my news feed on Facebook, and they were dangling the carrots about home-based businesses and MLMs, and I decided to jump in and try a few and had some winners, had some losers, but that's where we met Peter, and it's been a very positive experience, and we've become good friends since then, and that was, many moons ago. But one day, one of my other friends had questioned me and about had Ron and I thought about becoming travel agents at all. And the more we talked a little bit, the more I got, kind of excited, because Ron and I had not too much prior to that been talking about starting to do some traveling ourselves. We were empty nesters, baby boomers, and if we wanted to travel, now would have been the right time to do it. So as I was driving home that day, I got more and more excited, and Ron and I sat down, and we talked about it, weighed the pros, the cons, all that good stuff, and ended up deciding that we were going to go for it, jumped in with both feet, and got the training and the licensures and all the other good stuff that we needed. And since then, we have done a lot more traveling than we probably would have, and I'm enjoying every bit of it and slow but sure getting things checked off my bucket list. And we've been able to help a lot of people, made lots of new friends in the industry, and having a really good time. And it's been a very good experience.
Excellent. Okay, perfect. And then over to Ron.
Okie dokie. Well, good to be here again, Peter. My background is a little bit different than Pam. Spent many, many years as a licensed clinical psychologist, very heavily involved in the profession, both as a person involved in the self-regulatory aspect of the profession, sitting on the board of directors of the Canadian Psychological Association, and on ethics boards and professional affairs committees, doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes regulatory stuff that goes into any profession. At the same time, working at building a clinical practice, and initially, like many other clinicians, decided that it would be very important to get a good solid basis working with a number of different clinical populations before venturing forth and opening up a private practice, because when you open a private practice, you basically have no idea of who's going to call, who's going to come in the door, who's going to be referred to you. And it's very important to have as good a well-rounded clinical training and clinical experience background before you do that. So I made the commitment to get as solid a basis as I could, worked for pretty much every one of the social service delivery systems, getting experience with all the different populations, and then eventually did go into private practice. After I was in private practice for a while, really started specializing, working with young couples, doing a lot of sexual therapy, a lot of premarital therapy, a lot of work with kids with learning disabilities and emotional difficulties, etc. And unfortunately, working with that population, it wasn't too long before I found myself being involved in several divorces and disputed child custody cases. And just by coincidence, at that time, there were some major, major changes taking place both in the Canadian, where I was, and the American judiciary, because up until that time, there had pretty much been a foregone conclusion that if you had a young couple going through a divorce and there were young children involved, the court would almost always grant custody to mommy and visitation to daddy. And we were starting to see an awful lot of cases where it was very, very clear that that was not only not a good situation, but in some cases it was a very bad situation. And the Canadian judiciary, in Canada, the Divorce Act is a piece of federal legislation, so all divorces are handled at the Supreme Court level, which makes it much more standardized, much more regulated throughout the country and all the different provinces. Supreme Court justices really communicate and make decisions across the country. And they made the decision that going forward, rather than going with the foregone conclusion of who gets custody, they really had to start making decisions about child custody and access based on the psychological best interest of the children involved. And that decision was very, very quickly followed by the American judiciary, and we started seeing that happen in all the different states, even though in the U.S., the divorce acts are pieces of state legislation. So there's different regulations, different standards, etc. But overall, the judiciary really followed suit. And what ended up happening as a result was a new subspecialty developed in the mental health professions, primarily psychology and social work, because obviously judges and lawyers and court personnel are not experienced. They don't have the interest. They don't have the knowledge, and they don't even have the willingness to get involved in all the things you have to do in order to be able to make solid recommendations about what would be in the psychological best interest of the children involved. So we started seeing a subspecialty develop, and I was at the forefront of that in Canada. I was one of the first psychologists to be appointed by the Supreme Court to represent the psychological best interest of children involved in child custody cases. Did that for a good number of years. As a spin-off of that, I was invited to be a guest lecturer at the Faculty of Law at the university, and also I was doing a lot of training of other psychologists at psychological conferences, talking to other members of the profession who were interested in getting involved in that subspecialty. So it was very challenging work, at the same time very, very rewarding. Handled many, many, many court cases, probably between 200 and 300 court cases, before I ended up coming down and visiting with some friends in South Florida. And just by chance, they introduced me to a psychiatrist, a friend of theirs, who was doing a lot of criminal forensic work in the South Florida courts. And he was very, very interested, very intrigued with what I was doing up in Canada, because there was nothing like that here in the States, especially here in Florida. And he basically wanted me to give up my practice in Canada and move down to Florida, go into practice with him. He would, of course, continue doing the criminal forensic work, but he wanted me to basically introduce the whole concept in the family court system and take care of all the civil forensic work. So it wasn't a hard decision to make to give up being in, at the time I was in Western Canada, where the last winter I was there, we went 25 days in a row where the warmest it got was 20 below zero. So the opportunity to move to South Florida was rather inviting. And I took him up on the offer, moved down, basically spent a good deal of time meeting with general masters who were handling the divorces in the South Florida courts, meeting with a lot of attorneys handling family law, and I was able to introduce the whole concept of representing the psychological best interest of children involved in the South Florida courts. I was the first psychologist to ever be allowed in the South Florida courts, both in Dade and Broward counties, to represent the psychological best interest of children involved in disputed custody cases. So that, again, was very, very challenging, a whole new frontier, and really enjoyed doing that, was doing that for a good number of years in South Florida. And after I did that for a number of years here, another psychiatrist with whom I had worked for many, many years up in Canada before I moved to Florida invited me to come out to California because he had a very well-known international training institute that trained all different professions in the mental health arena: psychiatry, psychology, social work, marriage and family counseling, drug counseling, family counselors, etc. And they were doing training throughout Canada and the U.S. and many, many foreign countries. And what he wanted me to do was come out there and take over as executive director of that institute and basically oversee the clinical training that was going on throughout the world through that institute. So again, it was a good challenge, good opportunity. I took him up on that and went there, was there for a good number of years. But I really found that living in Southern California was not my cup of tea. Around that same time that I was there was when all the idiots were standing on the bridges over the Los Angeles freeways shooting at people as they drove by. And after I'd been there for a good number of years, I decided that I really would prefer coming back to South Florida. So I did that, came back here for a while, got involved with the Department of Insurance because I was very upset with what was happening in the managed mental health field. It was very clear to me that insurance companies were much more involved in managing money than managing care. So the Department of Insurance asked me to come and work with them for a number of years, putting together new legislation that would regulate the whole managed mental health field. And again, it was a challenge, but it was very rewarding work. Really enjoyed working with the Department of Insurance, enjoyed working with a number of clinicians throughout the state of Florida. And after doing that for a while, Pam and I got together. We decided to semi-retire and move from Southeast Florida to Southwest Florida. As Pam indicated, she got involved in the MLM home-based business arena, although that was not, really not of any interest to me. I was fully supportive of her doing that. But when she came home and said that she really, really wanted us to consider getting into the travel industry, we both saw that as a great opportunity. As Pam said, we had been talking about doing more travel, getting involved in doing travel, if that's what we wanted to do. So becoming travel agents certainly opened the door to do that. And we looked at it, realized that if we were going to do it, we were going to do it the right way, get fully licensed, fully regulated, etc. And the main thing was that we realized that we would have to spend some time and effort really looking at the different vendors in the field and pick out those with whom we felt we could legitimately work and promote and support. And as with any other industry, there's, you know, good providers, bad providers, and in-between providers. And we really made the commitment that if we were going to do it, we were going to do it the right way and work with those people who really were involved in providing good service and good value to their clients. So we've been doing that, took all the training, got fully licensed, and as Pam said, we've been doing a lot more travel than we would have been able to do had we not become agents, and really enjoying the travel ourselves, and really helping a lot of other folks to make the most out of their travel and vacation time and money. And that's where we are.
Excellent information. We're going to take a little commercial break on this next side. We're going to have Ryan come back and tell us about some of the updates that are happening in the travel world. Here we go.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Meagle. This special segment can be heard again with almost any device connected to the Internet by going to buildingfortunesradio.com. That's www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Listen in often and get to know Pam and Ron. Go to the buildingfortunesradio.com website to listen in to the show. No matter where you're at in life, you can benefit by listening to and by working with Pam and Ron. Let them book your next cruise, vacation getaway, or group event. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio and witness their ability to pursue their dreams in the field they love. Thanks for listening. And now, back to the Harshman Travel Radio Show.
And we are back. Peter Mingles here with Pam and Ron Harshman. If you go to harshmantravel.com, you'll be able to sign up for the newsletter and see some of the other cool things. And in addition to all of that, if we haven't mentioned it already, it doesn't cost you any extra money to use Harshman Travel. So make sure you do. So, Ron, what's new and what's happening in the updates in the travel industry this week?
Okie dokie, Peter. A couple of things that I basically wanted to talk about tonight. Once again, I want to focus on the upcoming requirement for what they are calling Real ID. This is a regulation by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and it's been around for a while in terms of the regulation. The latest word is that it is going to be fully implemented by October 1, 2020. And what it really means is that for anybody doing any travel that involves federal or federally controlled travel, getting on an airplane, getting on a ship, going, you know, across any borders, etc. The requirement of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security is that people have what they are going to be calling real ID. What does real ID mean? It basically means something produced by the federal government, like a passport card, an ID card from the government, or you can have a driver's license, birth certificate, but these have to be approved and in agreement with the regulations set up under this new statute. And the basis for that is, as you well know, as many people well know, there are some states where anybody can get a driver's license, and a driver's license doesn't mean diddly squat in terms of identifying who the person really is. So what they've done is they've given every state specific regulations for that particular state, and every state has their own setup. But it's, for example, with a driver's license, you have to be able to produce certain documents and really prove who you are, and then instead of having just a regular driver's license, you have a real ID driver's license, and if you do not have that, you cannot travel. And what we're concerned about, and why I want to probably bring this up ad nauseum between now and October, is that they are expecting that a major number of people are going to be unaware of this, are going to hear about it and think, well, I've got a driver's license, I've got a passport. And unfortunately, many people who are traveling domestically do not travel with their passport. That's pretty much required if you go internationally, but you know, within the United States or even going into Canada, many people feel that they don't need a passport. And what is the biggest concern of the Homeland Security Department and the travel industry as well is that people are going to book flights, go to the airport, be asked for identification, pull out their driver's license that is not specially marked real ID, and be told, sorry, you cannot travel. And at that point, it's a little bit late to try to run down to the DMV and convince them that you really should have a real ID license, and it's going to be problematic. And everything they're talking about in an attempt to lessen that and minimize that are all good ideas, and I'm sure to an extent they're going to work. But the bottom line is, when it comes to federal guidelines and regulations, many people just don't pay attention or aren't aware or overlook something like an announcement, whether it's in the paper or TV or radio or whatever. So the reality is that they are expecting a lot of people to learn about this in a very negative and unfortunate way. So the more we can advise people and tune them in to their need to obtain a real ID documentation, the better. And we will continue to talk about it. Many of the states have already met the federal requirements. Unfortunately, there are still a number of states that have not met the requirements. And the main issue is that the way the law is written, you have to have a real ID that is designated as a real ID by your state of residence, not where you're going or where you're visiting, or if you've got a primary home and a secondary home. It is your primary residence where you have to have your real ID from. So we certainly advise people, whether you're all in Florida or wherever you are listening to us, check with your state. You can check with the Department of Motor Vehicles. You can also check with, you know, any of the other regulatory bodies in your state and just find out, what do I need to get a real ID? and we certainly recommend getting a real ID. So that's one of the things that...
I have to interject. You know, as somebody who just loves my freedom, my little interjection would be, of course, if you commit a crime, any evidence that you have on you or around you will be enough to convict you of a crime, and you'll be able to spend the rest of your life in jail, but you won't be able to board that plane.
Absolutely.
So...
You know, when you're in jail, you have to worry about your own safety. When you're on an airplane, they have to worry about everybody else's safety.
I guess.
Peter, I know you're trying to bring that up and say, isn't the government silly for doing that? But if you think it through, they're not. They don't damn how you fend when you commit a crime and go to prison and have to fend for yourself. But they are responsible, and they do care about all the other people that are on the plane when you get on the plane. So the regulations are stronger.
That's it.
Anyhow, it's funny because you're 100% correct. That, you know, when you commit a crime, they find out who your real ID is. And some people go to jail and even hang themselves. But we won't talk about that. Anyhow, one of the other things you had mentioned before, Peter, about it's a good idea to use Harshman Travel or use any other licensed travel advisor because there is no extra charge involved. A new document has just come out from the American Society of Travel Advisors, which is the largest national body representing all travel agents in the United States. They're the main lobbying body in Washington that deals with all the regulations, taxes, and all that kind of stuff regarding travel and travel industry and travel industry personnel. But they just came out with a new document that addresses the reasons why they're saying more than ever it is important to use a qualified and designated travel advisor. And number one on the list is what you've already mentioned. You get all of the expertise of the travel advisor at no extra cost. And we've mentioned before, in addition to no extra cost, a side benefit of that with a travel advisor is that being a travel advisor and being connected with either a consortium or a host agency or whatever you're talking about, thousands of agents together, we do get special rates and perks on behalf of our clients. So if you, as an individual, go online to book something and you think you got a good rate or a good deal, in many instances it comes back to bite you because the way the advertising is, the way it's designed, the way it presents itself, it does not usually identify all the hidden costs or the extra costs or the only or the costs that you only find out about at the end of your trip, like the mandatory gratuities, daily gratuities on a cruise ship, for example, the gratuities that you have when you go to any travel destination, and a good bona fide travel advisor is going to make you aware of those things. When Pam and I book somebody on a cruise, for example, right up front, we give them the price of their cruise, including prepaid gratuities, including the port charges, including the taxes, including the actual cruise rate, including any dining or drinking package that they think they got for free, but it is free, but you have to pay gratuities attached to that package, because even though the cruise line is giving you the food or the beverages for free, they still have to give their personnel gratuities, so you still end up paying those. And unfortunately, many people go online, they book something, and they don't realize that those prices are there. They're signing that they've read all the terms and conditions, and at the end of the cruise, they get a little slip under their door the night before they're disembarking, and it shows, we hope you enjoyed your cruise. Your credit card has been charged with X number of dollars to cover this and this and this and this and this that you may never have heard about. So that's just one of the things. Second thing is that there's a lot of planning in a vacation, a lot of different things, a lot of choices, a lot of, for example, on a cruise ship, there are different stateroom categories. There are different things involved, whether they're entertainment that are sometimes free entertainment, sometimes there's a charge attached. There are dining rooms that are either complimentary or there are extra costs involved. And the more that you don't know, the more likely it is you're going to have some bad things happen on the on your vacation, and a trusted and professional travel advisor is going to make sure that you're fully aware and you've got all these things up up front and you know exactly what you're doing. I realize I'm out of time, so I'm going to hurry up. One of the things that they say is that you have to navigate Mother Nature. And people don't know. I mean, yes, you can watch the Weather Channel and you can find out certain things, but when you are planning a trip, a vacation, a cruise, whatever, to go certain places, it's important that somebody be able to advise you that this is what you're likely to face, whether it's weather change, whether it's storms, whether it's cold or warm or whatever, and that's information that professional travel advisors spend their whole day learning and being able to present that information to their clients. The ability to just protect the bottom dollar, to really understand how choices that are made in terms of stateroom types, in terms of meal packages, in terms of drinking packages, in terms of entertainment packages, in terms of on-land excursions and things. Again, travel agents are trained and knowledgeable if they're working with a particular vendor to be able to advise you about what you should and not only what you should do, but what's available to you. Another thing is all of the paperwork and all of the homework that's required. Again, a knowledgeable travel agent is there. We spend our time reading all the things, talking to the different vendors, understanding what's going on, whether you're talking about going on a European trip, whether you're talking about going to the South Pacific, whether you're talking about going to Hawaii, whether you're talking about going to Alaska, wherever you're trying to go, wherever you're planning to go, it's important to be able to talk to somebody who knows where you're going, knows what's available, should be able to, by talking to you, know what you are looking for and what you want, and be able to plan with you so that your vacation gives you the best package that is available to you. And I'm going to stop there because we've gone over time. We will talk to everybody again next week. Have a great week.
Great information.
Yeah,
great information. So make sure you check out harshmantravel.com. Go to harshmantravel.com. And probably the most important thing is realize that take advantage of their level of expertise because, as I'm thinking about this and I'm listening to you, Ron, there's a lot of things that change. So there's lots of different rules. Lots of different, and the rules here in the United States might be different than the rules of the place that you're going or the state that you're in, and all of those things. If you don't know those rules, it'll probably hurt you. So, more reasons to use a qualified agent. So I'll leave that with you. You could wrap this up.
Okay, basically, just to follow up what you're saying, Peter, you're 100% right. The idea of having an agent is that person is there as your agent, as your referee if there's any problems, as your information source if you have questions, if you're trying to plan out what you want to do, what's the most effective way to spend my time, I want to do this, somebody else in the party wants to do that, how do we put these things together, use the information that's available, and as you said right at the beginning, Peter, there is no cost for using a professional travel advisor. Our commissions, our income is paid by the travel vendor, so it's not that they charge you more so they can give us commission. They give us better rates so we can give you a better deal, and they pay us for getting you to use their service.
Excellent. We're going to catch everybody next week on Building Fortunes Radio. Go to buildingfortunesradio.com/Harshman Travel, or you can go directly to harshmantravel.com. We'll see everybody next week. Thanks. Thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Harshman Travel Radio Show segment on Building Fortunes Radio with your hosts, Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website to hear previous radio shows with Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingle. Pam and Ron's success as entrepreneurs has allowed them to pursue their passion in the travel industry. Listen to Harshman Travel Radio Show and learn about Pam and Ron as they discover the joy that comes from being part of the travel industry. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. Pam and Ron Harshman and Peter Mingles and I want to say thanks for listening and ask you to spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.